The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send us a message, Aaron will read it. And it makes him feel important, guys, so help him out. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first hour. Mostly just made fun of me. That's pretty much what the first hour was. AJ gave his fights, asking for a friend, wants to know what channel the fights are on. ESPN Plus. So cranking up right now. And if you missed his picks, he did tweet them out. And they're also on the free forums at pregame.com. So you can go get them there. And good luck to everybody who's playing tonight.
Oh, you know what? You guys will. It just said countdown to first fight, 1 hour, 1 minute.
Oh.
So I guess they're not going to start them until 6.
Okay. Well, yeah, I thought 6 o'clock would make more sense because it'd be 7 Eastern, but and you know they want to cater to the West Coast a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because does it really matter what time it is in Florida?
No.
For the fights?
No, I mean, it shouldn't.
There's nobody there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bernardo wants to know, what's your record when betting Houston fighters? I think you've been pretty good.
Yeah, I usually do pretty all right with that. I mean, I've had some losses, just like everybody, but and like with, you know, I did lose with Juan because I was that was more of a bet against Greg Hardy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing it's not much different than betting other fighters. I don't bet Houston fighters every time they fight, certainly.
Yeah, I think you do have more insight into some of those guys, which is good, and especially how their training camps have gone a lot of times, which, you know, most people don't have that kind of info.
Yeah, I have a direct line to Ike's coach, so I'm comfortable with the report I got from him about training camp.
Well, I always ask you, what do you think of these guys? And you've always been pretty straight about it. It's like, plus number, but
sometimes he wasn't ready. I mean, yeah, it's it's hit and miss. I know I was I ended up losing my bet on Span last week because I bet on him to win inside the distance. But there were about 5 different opportunities where it could have ended that way. It just didn't go that way. So. I try not to have any emotional attachment to these guys when I'm betting. If I've got an emotional attachment, typically I'm just going to watch and cheer for them.
Yeah, yeah. I had Span to win last week,
So you did all right.
The distance. Yeah, yeah. But again, that was from asking you and listening to him as well. I mean, you get a sense. Nobody's ever going to tell you they're not ready, but they'll drop hints that maybe they didn't have the best camp and things like that, and you can pick up some stuff there. But yeah, I'm with you on Ike. I'm liking that plus number.
One of the last fighters we had in studio with us was Lauren Murphy, if you remember that, and she made us some good money because she was a pretty heavy underdog, and she convinced me. When she was in studio with us, you know, and I was like, "All right, I'll throw a flyer at that," and that was a nice hit.
Yeah, yeah, and she won. I mean, and there were some other guys that we had that you could tell they were saying the right things, but maybe not, you know. But yeah, she sold me too. 409 says the afternoon guys over on 610 listened to Anthony Weaver's media session today, and I thought they were going to get each other pregnant. They were so excited. You'd have thought it was Vince Lombardi.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm not going to break down Anthony Weaver's comments today. I'm sorry.
Yeah, pass.
He did say one thing that I thought was pretty hilarious when he's talking about what kind of defense he's going to have. he was asked if he'd be more aggressive.
Uh-huh.
He said, I don't know if that's necessarily a fair assessment, but I envision our defense being representative of our city. We want a defense that plays with passion, just like the city of Houston.
That's I've been such around a this cliche, place a long time. Trash can
I
thing
know.
To say.
It is like the worst possible answer. It says, you've got to be Texans tough. We know everybody in the city of Houston, they're tough. Dude, you don't read the text line. You don't know anything about this. Says, gross. You can't be from Texas and not be tough. And you've got to be resilient. Okay. Yeah, great answer there, buddy. Chuck asked, what are the odds Fred plays poker tonight? I don't know. I'm a game time decision. I'm probably not tonight. I mean it's there every night now, so I just don't want to get into a routine where I'm playing every single freaking night. It's just not healthy. But I did want to tell you that I am going to do this workshop on Sunday, and just to let you know, it's free, and this is it's basically going to be, it'll be less than an hour. I've maxed the thing out at an hour, and what we're going to do is basically a class I used to teach on how to communicate better. And if no matter what you do, I think you'll find it useful. I've done this for lawyers. I did it for a group of nurses one time to just so that they could communicate with doctors and patients better. I've done it for our ad staff at times. And, when I was doing these and getting paid for them, I would always tell people, if you don't leave here having learned one thing, then everybody gets their money back. Well, I never had to give the money back. So I promise you, you'll learn something. And I'm going to save the fiction stuff for the very end, so that if you just want to come in and get some stuff you can use to interpersonal communication, things like that, communicating with your spouse better, all of that will be part of it. And, we're going to do it on Zoom. And if you're interested, just DM me or send an email to fower975@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send you the invite. We've already got a bunch of people signed up. And I've never done Zoom before, so it could be a disaster, but I'm going to get on there and test it and make sure it all works. But I think it'll be fun, and it's just something to do. It'll be 2:00 on Sunday. I promise you'll be done by 3:00. And if you're not really interested in talking about fiction, then you'll be done a lot sooner than that, because I'm going to save about the last 15 minutes. And there'll be a Q&A, so you can ask stuff, and hopefully people will enjoy it. I mean, it's just trying to do a few things to keep people occupied, and so when you do get back to work, and I'll tell you who this is really good for, and AJ, don't call them out on air, but we've got a couple people in our meetings, actually more than one, that just never know when to shut up. They drone on and on and on. They want to tell you every little detail that doesn't matter. This is for you. If you're that person and everybody tells you how much they hate having you in your meetings, I'm going to change your life, guaranteed. More importantly, I'm going to change how your coworkers look at you. So, but that'll be Sunday at 2:00. And like I said, if you're interested, just DM me or send me an email. At some point tonight, I'll get to everybody. And I haven't got to everybody yet, because the response has been much more than I expected. But I think everybody will like it, and hopefully, we'll have an hour of entertainment. And then for those of you who've read the novels and just want to ask questions about those, or fiction writing in general, I've got a few people who want to do that. That's what we'll do it at the very end. And there's one guy wants to ask me about the ending of one of my stories for some reason. So he's already said, can I ask about that? I'm like, yeah, if you hate it, that's fine. So it is, I do think it's useful. And, I don't think anybody's ever gone through the class and said, boy, that was a waste of my freaking time.
Yeah. Well, good.
713 says, so a defense from some of the California teams are a little bit more relaxed and not as aggressive, or what?
Well, of course.
Yeah. So apparently 281 said, clicked over for a second, Baytown Badass is breaking down Anthony Weaver talk.
Oh, gross. Yeah. You know what? I can't talk. They're winning right now. So apparently there's people out there who enjoy that. But my God.
Well,
what are we doing? What is life if that's what people want? If that's what people want out of radio, maybe this is the wrong business for me.
I'm with you. But as we had that drop long ago, there's a lot of stupid people out there.
Yep.
So no disrespect, but if that's what you want, we don't want you. We really don't. you're not going to fit in here. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. You see, your boy Daryl Morey yesterday was trolling the Astros a little bit.
No.
If I'm him, I'm probably not tweeting these days. Although, I guess the whole Chinese thing is done. But Rachel Nichols tweeted out something, says, can't say I agree with Shaq's opinion that if the NBA resumes, any championship would have an asterisk next to it. A title isn't usually won in perfect conditions. There's always variances in who you face, injuries, officiating. This year, the variances are just more extreme.
So I love how he said officiating. That's so typical.
That was Rachel Nichols.
Rachel Nichols.
But he quote tweeted her and said, this is why the Houston Rockets are destined to win this year. Houston championships always get an asterisk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not wise, guys.
That's not what you're supposed to say when you're the GM of a Houston team.
It's a little funny.
Seems like the wrong play, but what do I know? Maybe that's what Texas or Houston sports fans want to hear. They never want to hear that from me, certainly.
No,
I've never said there should be an asterisk on any Houston championships. That's what separates me from Daryl Morey, honestly.
Well, the concept of an asterisk in general is just stupid. I mean, how many Spurs fans say, there was a strike-shortened season. Let's give this one back.
None. Yeah. They won. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Tyler says he's thinking Holly is one of those in the meetings that doesn't shut up, but then realize she might be asleep and just want the meeting to end.
Holly's not allowed in our meetings.
Well, she's got a real job with meetings. So.
Yeah, not ours.
Yeah, she says, I don't talk in meetings because I'm ready for them to be over before they start. Yeah, and actually, you can use this stuff in your meetings. I promise you, if you go and talk to everybody else. I've tried it with ours when we had a management retreat last year. It worked for about 2 weeks, and then everybody was back to droning. So, not everybody, but we have a few, and that's just... It'll make you more productive. It'll help. I promise you. If you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. If you don't like what you hear, if it doesn't help you even a little bit, I'm going to give you your free money back.
There you go. That's very generous of you, Fred.
Yeah, so the price of admission will be returned.
All right, what do I have here? Allstate, my guys over at Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Guys, it's never been easier to get your siding done or get your windows upgraded. And what Allstate's doing is they're taking all the extra precautions. They're making sure you're safe. They're making sure their people are safe. They're doing this the right way. And they're getting installations done. And not only are they getting them done, they're getting them done at a discount. Spring specials mean no payments for 2 years, so you don't have to pay anything right now. And you'll still get all the benefits. You'll still get $2,500 off of siding, 30% off all the window packages, and you can save up to 40% on your energy bills with vinyl windows. How great is that? Allstate Siding and Windows, family-owned and operated for over 4 generations. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Senior discounts, cash discounts, first responder discounts, the kind of company that you really want to do business with. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
I knew you were trouble when you walked down. It's a shame on me now. Blew me to places I've never been. Till you put me down. I knew you were.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Boy, I was expecting this text. Would we put an asterisk by the Rockets titles because of MJ playing baseball? No. No.
No.
Especially not the second one where he was back. People forget that. And if you watch if you're watching this MJ thing, he didn't want to play the first year. He really didn't. And he didn't think they were going to win. So, no. I mean, yeah, let's put one next to the Raptors because Kevin Durant's leg exploded. Come on. The asterisk concept is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And the fact that people want to talk about it all the time. Just look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm smarter than this. Why would I ever bring this up again? Pointless. Is Lamont want to get on? Is he still there?
What's good, Lamont?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, what's up, fellas?
Sports, man.
Yeah, man. I just want to say, and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, but I think, and I was talking to a person that both of you guys know, one of my friends, and we was talking about it, and I was like, you know, pound for pound, the Blitz is doing the best in this coronavirus era that we're living in right now. It's almost easy for them because they talk about, you know, the Blitz. It could be the Super Bowl, and the Blitz will probably do 2-3 segments on the Super Bowl and have about 8 or 9 other stories waiting for you, and y'all left with some skill to talk about. I like that part of the Blitz, man. What I'm hearing now from all of the other stations, either they all trying to be, you know, NBA, NFL, MLB owners, and the federal government, where you guys are out there talking about all types of stuff, and it's normal. It's normal. It's what you you guys would do in like 2017.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate about the Blitz, man. That I don't really, you know, outside of the physical contact, you know, the physical presence of y'all being inside the office, you know, it ain't really that much of a difference to me. It's just wild that 6'10 is, you know, winning, and I really don't know what the ratings is, but I really appreciate that about the Blitz, that it wasn't hard for you guys to transition to this right here because you guys are still doing the same things that you was doing before the coronavirus. Y'all still conduct the same kind of show. Everybody else show is cookie cutter right now. It's all the same, and I'm not just going at 6'10 or 7'90". It's a lot of, it's some of your shows right now that it just went exclusive coronavirus and just constantly just hitting us with the coronavirus. And, man, I almost cursed, man, but I just really appreciate the fact that you guys have a show that you can still conduct. You can still conduct in this messed up time that we're in right now, man. And that's grateful. And that's all I have, fellas. I hope I didn't get too mushy.
I appreciate it, man. That's very kind. But, you know, I told Fred and Aaron, and I told our bosses when this thing started, I said, we've got some people here who are, you know, and really our show and the morning show particularly, we're built for this. I tell Fred and Aaron all the time, if sports are gone for a year, we're going to be fine, in my opinion. I don't know if ad revenue will keep up and things like that, but, dude, I've always said that our show is, we try to be what you and your buddies would be talking about at a bar. And if all you talk about with your buddies is sports all the time, you're kind of a weird dude, and I don't really want to be friends with you. So when there's no sports going on, you don't go to the bar and talk about sports with your buddy because there's no sports. So we just talk about, we're just having normal conversations is what we're trying to do. Tell some funny stories, have some normal conversations. That's it.
And make fun of my face.
And make fun of Fred's face, which we would do normally anyway, with or without coronavirus.
My hair. Yeah, yeah. But the reality is, and when this was first started, I was never worried about the content of the show because I've always wanted to do shows without sports. And I think both of us like doing shows that don't have sports sometimes. And it's, and you know, you never know when it's going to be drawn out this long. But, I mean, I feel like I've had more fun doing these shows than Monday after a Texans game. No question. And Also, we joke about them flying by, but, you know, holy bleep, we haven't run out of stuff yet.
Yeah, so we're good.
And I don't think we will for a while, especially as long as we have, you know, as long as we can still play poker online and talk about that and bet on some stuff. And there'll always be something we can get to. And you know, right now, I mean, I'm enjoying doing the shows. They're fun. And there's times during the season where you have to talk so much sports that it's not as much fun. And we try to mix in other things when we can, but when the Texans blow a 24-0 lead, guess what you have to talk about for 3 hours?
Right. But I'm never a dude who's like, oh, we've got to talk more about sports constantly. I just don't believe in that, man. I believe you just put on an entertaining show, and if there's no sports, why are we going to talk about sports all day, every day, if there's no sports to talk about? And I'm not if there's actual real stuff to talk about, that's one thing. But pretending like you're interested in a conversation with Anthony Weaver, like that somehow gets you hyped up, that's garbage. That's lying to your audience and pretending you're interested in something you're not. Or maybe it's not. Maybe you are actually interested in that. And again, you're a weirdo, if that's the case.
Yeah, I am. You're not the person I want to have a beer with.
No.
You know, I like interesting people who have...
How about a nice glass of milk, Fred?
Oh, yeah, I'll get that. I'll jump
right
on that.
Hey, man, let me tell you.
But I just think the way we've always done it is just be yourselves, have fun. I always tell people, we just have fun and hope people like it.
That's it.
And that's it. There's no magic beans here. There's nothing beyond that. We have fun doing the show, and we try to be ourselves. And if we wind up not being interesting at some point, then yeah, we'll look at that. But right now, I think it's still interesting. So, and it's funny. Now, if you want some of the science behind it, yeah, then sign up for that seminar Sunday, because I will throw a few tricks out there that we do. And if I were the other stations, I'd be listening. So you mean you don't go to the bar to talk about the offensive line?
Not usually.
Sometimes.
I mean, if there's something interesting going on with it, but it's not like, hey, man, what do you think of that offensive line? Like, no, that's not like just random conversation with me.
No, and I think you can break down a team pretty easily without spending, you know, four segments on it. Yes, if we want to talk about the Texans' offensive line, we could give you a really good analysis in about 3 minutes, I think, of exactly what they are. But, you know, it's whatever you're into, man, if that's what you want. And I think we have people on this station who do that really well. Like, I think Jason and Patrick in particular, those guys, they can break down stuff like that. And, you know, it's very different, but it works for them. And so we do what works for us, and hopefully it'll keep working for us. And, you know, I'd love to get sports back, but if not, I'm okay doing the show just like this for the rest of the year. And no problem with it at all. And I promise I'll keep, I'll keep being ugly for the people.
Thank you.
So. All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A lot more to get to that's non-sportsy and sportsy. It's all going to happen on a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz. We'll be right back.
I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. Good-hearted people.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Man, I set this Zoom meeting for 100 people. I may already be approaching that. I'm going to have to redo it. Oh, man. Did you say we have a call?
Is that- okay. Yeah, I didn't even talk to him, so I didn't know if he was if we had him or not this week. So Aaron, ahead of the game, apparently, just decided let's take a shot at it, and it looks like we will have him on. Taylor McCarr joins us here on ESPN 97.5. Taylor, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Can't complain. What's life been like for you during this pandemic? Obviously, no games. So what have you been up to?
Man, you know, it's I think it's like everybody else, just trying to keep busy. I think the draft was a welcome break, and I will say the Last Dance really is every week find myself sitting down excited about that. But, you know, grabbing it at straws like everybody else, you're just looking for anything right now in the sports world to keep occupied and just hoping that we get, you know, some sort of league, either basketball or baseball, to come back here soon.
What's your expectation, and what, I mean, like, what have you heard from the guys at ESPN about college football? Because obviously that's what they used you for last year. Have they said anything about when they expect things to start? I mean, obviously they don't make those decisions, but do they have expectations?
You know, the conversations that I've been a part of feel like everybody asks the same question, and nobody wants to be the one to take a stab at having a real solid prediction. I think what Mark Emmert with the NCAA came out and said, that it's going to come down to what schools and universities think. I think that's really powerful. I think that's what people really should latch on to, is the NCAA is not going to come out and make a blanket statement and say it's all or nothing, because it's pretty obvious with some of the schools in the Northeast and with what we saw out of the state school system in California, that we're going to have some schools that they're not ready to go, and they're not going to have kids on campus. And so what does that look like if the SEC and Big 12 and Conference USA are ready to go, but you've got, you know, half the Mountain West or a few of the Mountain West schools and the Pac-12 aren't? So I think you're going to see some sort of modified schedule. It may not start on time, but I think we're going to have football this fall, is what it's really starting to look like, maybe without fans. But it really is looking like we're going to have football this fall, but it's not going to be normal. And I think there's going to be schools that either will be missing, or there's scenarios being thrown out about schools in California having them out of the state and on other people's campuses so that they can get their games in and playing a full road schedule. So there's still a lot of different scenarios out there.
Can you, like, because we heard yesterday, like, maybe the Pac-12 doesn't even have games this year. Can you picture a scenario where one conference, especially a major conference, doesn't have a season, and the rest of college football says, well, we're going to go on as usual? Or do you think it's kind of an all or nothing situation?
I don't think it's an all or nothing, unless you're talking about getting into the majority. One of the things that the Pac-12 and Mountain West have talked about is, if certain schools aren't playing, then instead of doing, you know, in the Pac-12, for instance, they have the North and the South division, they just get away with that, or get away from that for the year, and they, you know, move more to the Big 12 model, where it's just a round robin and they just play each other. And if there's eight of the schools are playing, well, then those eight schools are just going to play each other, and non-conference games, you get as many as you can. That's, I think, one of the things when you see a October 1 start. Still another option out there is we see no non-conference games. They just do away with them, and it's only conference, and so you may have an 8, 9, 10 game regular season, and then who knows what the bowl games and playoffs look like by that point. But everybody in the NCAA, the networks, from the top down, they're trying to get this season in, because somewhere between 70 to 85% of these schools' revenue comes from football, with the exception of the blue chip basketball programs. So they've got to get the season in one, you know, one way or the other, whether that's in the fall or the spring.
Have you heard anything about baseball? And really, like, what are you watching? Are you watching baseball? Are you watching old, to stay sharp, are you watching old film and trying to do play-by-play or color commentary on old games? What are you doing to pass time?
Yeah, watching a lot of tape. I mean, going back and looking at who are teams that, you know, I find myself honestly watching a lot of U of H tape lately. Being a Rice guy, I'm familiar with Rice and a lot of what they run, but picking schools that I'm interested in and just trying to stay sharp and just watching as much as you can and then trying to pinpoint, you know, what games might be of interest next year. But it's hard right now because you don't know what games are going to happen. And then just as a fan, keeping up with the major storylines like everybody else is, you know, what happens around, you know, multiple leagues, what happens with professional baseball, basketball, you know, what's the drop dead point for Adam Silver in the NBA to say, hey, we're coming back by this point or we're not at all. So, in a lot of ways, I mean, just like everybody else, sitting and waiting and hoping that we get sports, you know, sooner rather than later.
Do you have thoughts on if college kids aren't on campus, would it be inappropriate for them to be running college athletics without kids even going to class?
I don't know if it's inappropriate, but I do think it all comes down to how quickly, you know, Major League Baseball did a great job of getting a lot of testing done in a really short amount of time. And if they can do that for all of these schools, I mean, that's a ton of tests, but if they can get all the tests done for all these kids and for all the staff members that are going to be consistently around them, if they can get that done, and then you isolate those kids in a training camp style setup, then you're sort of adding in those layers to safeguard, you know, an outbreak within a team. But it is, you know, what is the public perception of, okay, you didn't think it was safe enough for kids to be in school, but it's safe enough for them to play. I could see a scenario like you're talking about where you get some pushback on that. But it really does feel like the majority of the country is going to be back on campus, with the exception, like we talked about, of some of the schools in California and on the East Coast, that it looks like there's going to be quite a bit of a delay for them.
It's Taylor McCarg from ESPN, kind of talking about when things should be back to normal with sports. Taylor, baseball, obviously one of the things that ESPN's carrying as well. Would you expect the baseball to figure something out at this point?
Baseball's hard because they are already, you're seeing ruffled feathers on this 50-50 revenue split between the players and the owners, and that's something that, as a fan, you look at it and you say, is there no way that we can reach some sort of compromise in this shortened season just so we can get something played? I'm not privy to any of the information behind the scenes with the NFL or with the Major League Baseball Players Association of what it's going to take for them to get on the field, but it's going to come down to dollars and cents for them. I think even beyond the shortened season and playing in empty stadiums without fans there, unfortunately, it looks like it's really going to come down to whether or not they can agree on what the revenue split is, which right now is 50-50 between the owners and the players.
All right, that's Taylor McCarg from ESPN. Hopefully we'll hear him calling some games in the near future. Until then, tell people where they can find you.
All right, guys. Yeah, follow me on Twitter, at tmccarg16, M-C-H-A-R-G-U-E. And thanks again, guys, for having me on, and look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, that's a sharp dude, man.
I'm curious about if they'll, you know, if part of the country's ready for it and part isn't, will they do it?
Yeah, that's the thing. And this could also, and you know, and I'm going to talk to my buddy who's an NCAA lawyer and kind of get his thoughts on this, because if you're the SEC and you can play and the Pac-12's not ready to play, are you waiting for them? Are you waiting for everybody? I don't know. And I the fact that states are going to have different views on this, it really could impact things. And the other thing, you talked about the testing, and we've talked about this a little bit. A UFC did, 1,200 tests?
Yeah.
And you're going to be talking about the NFL is going to be doing all these tests. And now college football is going to be doing all these tests. Am I not mistaken? The average person is not able necessarily to get a test right now? I mean, are there going to be that many?
I don't know. I don't know how available it's going to be.
And, I mean, I don't know. I just keep hearing that, you know, there's still not enough tests for people out there, and you have to limit who gets it. So we're just going to go with this and say, yeah, so that USC can play football, we'll have a bunch more tests for them. I don't know. I think there's some optics here that need to be considered as well. But
I was going to take a random aside, so go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, I think maybe they'll all be available by then, and it won't be a big deal. And if that's the case, then no worries. But it just seems like you're going to need an awful lot of tests.
Lamont had a random question for us. He said, would you accept a $30,000 a week job offer where you get paid to sit in a pitch black room and do nothing for 8 hours a day? That's a resounding yes for me.
Yeah, I would do it for a year, pocket all the money, and go buy an island.
I mean, I'd be bored, but, you know, just do whatever you do. Well, sleep, pray, meditate. Write a book, do in your head, like come up with a story in your head. I don't know, but yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, definitely, because it's 8 hours a day.
Right.
You still got the rest of the time.
Yeah, I'll be all right. 16, and then, you know, I'll go home and I'll do my other 16 hours. Would I have to commute to this 8 hour a day job? That's going to have an effect on my decision, I think.
Yeah, if I don't have to commute, that's perfect. If you're just
and what are the benefits? Is there full medical?
Yeah, and what is the point of this? Is it just to punish me?
No, it's a job.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do it. In fact, sign me up. If you've got the $30K a week, sign me up right now. I'll get my 2 weeks notice. Nick says my daughter's ballet wants to do in-person lessons again. I'm not too sure about that right now. I think if they do it right and keep them separated,
I don't know. My kid's been asking to go back to jiu-jitsu, and my younger son's little league, they're not started up yet. I don't know when they're going to start up. So I don't know, man.
And I think that's, you know, certainly your choice. If you don't think you want them back out there yet, then don't do it. I mean, and I think, you know, there's a lot of little things like that. Like my dog was doing this agility training stuff, which I think they're going to be open back up. And I'm not sure we're ready to do that yet, which kind of sucks because she was doing well with it. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy, what are the odds, Wednesday? And, you know, that was my fault because Aaron did have Taylor on the rundown, and all I did was look to see if I had any live reads today, and when I didn't, I didn't look at the rest of it, so I apologize, Aaron. That was a fail on my part. Jason said, that would be easy. Stay up all night playing poker and sleep the 8 hours in the dark. Easy money. Yeah. Honestly.
But what if you're not allowed to sleep?
Yeah, that would be different, but
because you're on the job.
Right, right. Well, people sleep on the job all the time, AJ.
That's true.
And then 713 says, points out again how much more important football is than education, LOL. Well, yeah. But I think people expecting the Pac-12 to be ready to play in the fall when everybody else is, I think they're being overly optimistic. I really do. I don't think that they're going to say, oh, well, let's just put all these students in Arizona. I mean, if – you know, those campuses are pretty packed as it is. What are you supposed to do? All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. As you know, I am a huge Rick and Morty fan. I love that show. I think it's one of the most clever things that's been created in a long time. And my latest challenge to Aaron is to get Justin Roiland on the show, who is one of the co-creators, who also lived in Houston for a while. So I'm hoping maybe we can make that happen. But they had a joke this past week that didn't go over very well. And Aaron, could you play the audio of that for me?
Honestly, I'm proud of us for not.
Totally. It would have been cheap.
Yeah, real low-hanging fruit. We're better than that. Pearl Harbor, on the other hand.
Yeah, I think that's inbounds.
I am the god of death!
Should have been a better species!
So you did a 9/11.
Almost did a 9/11. We went with a Pearl Harbor. We're pretty classy.
Why were either of those an option?
Ask the Saudis.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, getting political. I'm political now.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So what kind of trouble are they in?
Basically, there's obviously been a backlash because of the 9/11 joke. And to put it in context, they were basically destroying this alien race. And they flew by what looked like the Twin Towers and said, no, that would be low-hanging fruit. That would have been cheap. And then they said, let's Pearl Harbor it instead. And so they got some backlash for the 9/11 bit and for the Saudi bit. And one person said, this season sucks, and on top of it, you're making 9/11 jokes. How about instead making two shows that suck, make one good one? I mean, I think the show's been fine. I mean, I don't think there hasn't been that one episode this year where you just go, holy bleep. But they've all been solid. But I'm just kind of curious if you thought they should get in trouble for that.
Dude, it's a cartoon. No, they shouldn't get in trouble. Like, it's... I mean, is it probably a misplaced joke? Yeah, probably. But if it's a cartoon, it's clearly comedy. And comedy doesn't hit for everybody. All right? And you should never expect it to. So, no, I don't... I tell you this all the time. I don't get mad at people when they try to be funny and it fails. Because being consistently funny, it ain't easy. And,
no,
you know, it's if you expect every joke to land, you don't know what you're talking about because it just doesn't happen. So, no, I'm not all that worked up over it. I don't think they should be in any real trouble.
Yeah, and I don't think they are. It's just there was a big backlash. And I think a lot of the backlash is from people who just don't like the show. But that's what it's been from the beginning, is completely irreverent. And that's what I love so much about it, is they try to joke about everything. And it's like you said, I don't get mad at people for trying to be funny and failing or maybe crossing a line.
I mean, I'll point it out if it happens, because, I mean...
Yeah,
it could still be pointed out as a bad joke. I mean, but that's why I hate when people get fired for trying to make jokes and they come across the wrong. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of it. But
yeah,
it was a different world we're living in right now, man.
It is, and you know, last week they had a Rona joke, and it's too soon for that. I mean,
people are dying from it.
I mean, I heard you laugh a little bit, so therefore it at least worked. So
no, I just laughed at the thought that people were getting in trouble over it. I didn't really, to be honest. I think that's probably lose something in translation with audio versus video,
right?
But I mean, I was laughing at mostly the fact that they were getting in trouble over making 9/11 jokes or whatever. But I they can't be the first ones who have done it.
No, and I didn't necessarily think of it as a 9/11 joke.
Yeah.
I thought of it as just being irreverent and funny and stupid and turning it into a Pearl Harbor thing, which is, you know, what the show is, which is, you know, what I like so much about it is I have no idea what they're going to make fun of next. And a lot of times it's something that I'm like, whoa, how the hell can you make fun of that? And it makes me laugh. So regardless, I thought I would get the people's opinion. Robert said, I got to be honest, I was cracking up. Somebody asked, did you think Kramer was funny? That's pretty random. No, I'm not. I never was big on that show.
On Seinfeld?
Yeah, I know I'm in the minority on that.
They're probably talking about Michael Richards' stand-up act where he got in trouble for using the N-word.
Oh, no, I don't even know about that, so can't really comment.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it's not like it's – again, that, then you're talking about, is he in trouble? Did he get fired? No. Should there be consequences if you do something? Yeah. I mean, if you're a white dude and you go on a rant about the N-word on stage – yeah, people are probably going to stop paying you to come on stage, but that's not a joke gone wrong. That's just being racist.
I don't remember what happened, so
the dude got lit up and started, you know, screaming at some black dude in the audience using the N-word.
Okay, well that's
was like
a totally
years and
thing.
Years ago. Yeah. Again, but that's not in the context of, just because you're at a comedy show doesn't mean that's in the context of comedy. It's one thing to make a joke that fails. It's another thing to be at a comedy show and start yelling the N-word at a dude. It wasn't a joke.
Yeah, that was 2006.
Yeah, that's a long ass time ago.
That's another one of those unrelated comparisons that we seem to be getting so much of these days. But yeah, would I make a joke like that? No, but was I offended by it? Absolutely not. All right.
But you know what else? This is another thing that I hate. I hate when people are offended by comedy. Like, you should be. Some people should be offended by comedy. Otherwise, what's funny that's not offensive to somebody? You know, like that's sort of the way comedy works.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about this a lot in the past. If you're not pushing up against that line, then yeah, have we crossed the line a few times on the show? Probably. But if we weren't pushing up against it, then the worst shows we've ever done were when we were worried about getting in trouble for something we might say, like after the pepper spray incident. Because then you're not, you're limiting everything. And to me, if you're trying to make people laugh and you're trying to entertain them, people who are offended by everything, they're going to be offended by whatever you do. I mean, they'll be offended by our very existence. So, all right, let's take a real quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Your work, home, and work from home sports station. ESPN 97.5.
Please stay home. Please stay home. It's okay to be alone.
Just